The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers, stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy, this is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
Many times, you know, his first look in there, I think his natural reaction sometimes is to flush out of the pocket. You know, sometimes he needs to stay with the progression of going to two or three, a little more than he has possibly. And the only thing we're doing to try and correct that is continuing to work on it in practice.
You know, we see Locke a lot rolling to his right. And he's good at throwing on the run. But the downside to that is it does make all your reads now a half field read. It condenses the field, limits your options. So what you see is are they design rollouts, design calls, or is this somebody who just at the first sign of heat bolts, and that his biggest challenge is just stay in the pocket?
Yeah,
I read the whole field.
There are plenty of opportunities. There are plenty of plays that are designed to get him outside the pocket, to create that half field read, to create those easy throws. And Mike, honestly, you run the ball well, those become very easy throws. You know, where you have a tight end pinning down the edge and then releasing into the flat, right? Down flat. Brian Greasy was talking about it last night with the Rams, a little down flat route. So they're very easy. Those are very easy throws, very manageable, throws. And you try to design, honestly, this is the way you protect your offensive line. Can I design six of those or seven of those, like where you're 8 for 8 or 7 for 7 in those situations? Because now all of a sudden, if I can do that and I can keep drives alive and I can keep us in, hey, now all of a sudden it's second down and 2. My whole playbook is wide open. Now,
then you can run a flea flicker.
Right. Then you can run a flea flicker.
Second and 2.
Right. So I'm a believer. I'm a believer, by the way, because this is the way I was raised in football through Joe Gibbs and Mike Shanahan. Second down and 2 is not let's chuck one deep and see if we can get a good play, a big play. Or get a PI. Second and 2 is let's lean on these suckers, right? Let's beat them up. Let's convert and let's make them stay on the field. But you know, in today's game, right? That's not how you get a head coaching job. And I said this yesterday. It looks like Pat Shermer's trying to get himself another head. You're not getting one. Stop it. Hey, here's the deal. Why don't you just concentrate on being a great coordinator?
Yeah. Ask Mike McCoy how that worked. Next. On the Morning Brew.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a great talk after the game, and there's no issue there.
So Vic Fangio says nothing to see here after the sideline spat with Shelby Harris. You ever get into it with a coach?
Well, my line coach, yeah. Sure.
But the head coach, you ever get into it with Gibbs or Shanahan?
No. No, are you kidding me?
Shanahan terrified you. Gibbs terrified you.
No, I was scared of both of them. Yeah.
I mean, they ultimately give you that eye and you'd be like, never mind, coach.
Yeah. I did one time. I mean, I had plenty of sideline altercations with Alex Gibbs.
Yeah. Anything you can sanitize for radio?
Well, yeah. Because
what would they typically sound like?
Well,
what would the average Mark Schlereth, Alex Gibbs spat sound like?
He'd be cussing at you for something that he saw on a Polaroid that was snapped 7 seconds before the ball was actually snapped. And be screaming on, how do you miss this? That's not what happened. Yeah, it is. It's right here. Dude, that was snapped 4 seconds before the ball was, like, it's not what happened. It is. And you know what? When you get your grade sheet the next day, because you'd be back going back and forth. You get your grade sheet the next day. He wouldn't say, I'm sorry. He'd just go, you're right. You can go, hey, man, I'm sorry about yelling. Yeah, you know what? You were right. It's just like, yep, you were right. But there was one time, and this guy's honest truth, that we were going back and forth. I was so sick of him. He was screaming about something. They had no idea what actually happened. And back and forth. And I had my helmet in my hand, and I tried to break his sternum with my helmet. I hit him right in the chest. I go, if you think you can block him, be my guest. Then he gave me the, you know, proverbial You know, up yours, and walked away. Yeah, he was 160 pounds. He's like, it's like hitting Ben in the chest with my helmet.
Way to beat up on Millennial Ben there.
I know. But yeah, we had those conversations. Yeah, those things happen all the time.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Snap to Foles. Back to throw. He hitches. He unloads left side and going airborne to intercept is Jalen Ramsey. Right on cue. Out of bounds at the 35-yard line. Ramsey sat on that route, and he beat the target to the football.
Monday Night Football, Rams radio right there as the Rams dominate the Bears 24-10. I guess Nick Foles, unless he's facing a quarterback, or unless he's facing a team that has Tom Brady as its quarterback, he's just not the same guy, is he?
You know, Trey Wingo, our friend Trey Wingo, posted kind of a QBR rating thing between Foles and Trubisky. Like, they're identical. Identical. Yeah. Bears, although the Bears came in that game, they're still 5-1. They're defensively
5-2, yeah.
Well, they are now 5-2, yes, but going into the game, they were 5-1. But I will say this, like, the coaching of McVay and attacking that Bears defense and really putting it on, like, where, like, Tampa really struggled with that, you know, putting it together with the Bears defense. That defense is legitimate, and they pretty much walked through it last night, and they ran the heck out of the ball. It was an impressive, that part was an impressive.
You know, you talked about this with McVay, that, you know, all this talk about how he's like some, you know, boy genius that's revolutionizing the game. You continually say, no, it's not that at all. He's actually right out of the old school, you know, Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak playbook. You want to talk about balance? Balance? They threw the ball 33 times. They ran it 34.
Yeah.
Not bad. Next on the Morning Brew.
Two balls, two strikes. Seager hits one in the air to right. This ball is crushed and gone. Corey Seager with another two-out RBI as he circles the bases with his eighth home run of this postseason.
Fox Sports there with the call. The World Series could wrap up tonight with Game 6. The Dodgers up 3-2. Mark, as this World Series has played out, have you found yourself sort of coming to respect the Dodgers? I mean, they're the Dodgers. They're the Rockies' daddies.
I don't know.
But maybe it's not flat-out hate when it comes to the Dodgers. Is there almost a grudging,
I like the Dodgers,
admiration for the Dodgers growing?
I like the Dodgers. I don't feel about the Dodgers like I feel about the teams in, you know, the AFC West that I played against. Like, I don't have the same level of sports hate. And I've said this a million times. You know, I got Raider fans crying.
Oh my goodness.
Floating in a tear of rivers. Ooh. Like, I am bathing in Raider fan tears.
Yes.
Like, they are, I didn't realize what a bunch of whiners
you're going to need a bigger coach.
Raider fan is. I guess that it's just they haven't had any success for however many years, and they thought maybe this was their year, and they beat Kansas City, and they did a great job beating Kansas City. But, you know, I mean, everything has to kind of line up for the Raiders. And listen, man, whatever. But boy, I tell you what, Raider fan, a bunch of crybabies.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew.